Five, four, three, two, one, sync.
Sync.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 234 of the TTV Podcast.
Mardi Gras.
I'm Bartoran.
I'm LJ.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Ben.
I'm Takuma Nuva.
I'm Purple.
I'm Tenebrae Invictus.
Hi, me, Excise Trooper. That's a really early hello.
And how's everybody doing?
Mardi Gras!
Oh, yeah.
Alright, there it was. You know, I was wondering when that one's.
Oh, boy.
Oh, your arms! I was in the other room!
Well.
Wow.
I was thinking about showing people that I know the TTV channel, but definitely not this week.
Nah, dude, people will love it.
Listen. I'm with you, man. Sometimes that's the whole thing of the Mardi Gras. I'm like,
I know? Fun.
Man, you guys care it's so, like, way, it's so weird. Way too much about what people think of you.
I know, right?
I think it's a normal amount to care really about don't. How the channel looks.
Hey guys, check
amount.
Out this YouTube channel I'm on. Mardi Gras!
I showed my English class. Quick. An episode of this once, and I just thought it was funny. They asked what Mardi Gras was, and I told them I don't know. I don't know. He just yells it
Fat
for some
Tuesday.
Reason. You know, we're too
Mardi
far
Gras,
in.
At least my parades are in about 2 weeks.
Well, I know that.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Are you
get hyped for Mardi Gras 2017.
It's funny because
coverage
to Mardi Gras?
Yeah.
What do you mean, am I going to go? It's...
I don't know if that's like a thing people
okay,
go to.
Listen,
you yell it every time.
That's a legitimate question.
Are you
going
to go to Mardi Gras?
No.
In X's defense, the way we talk about Mardi Gras, you think it was this mythical American holiday, you know? Kind of like the 4th of July where it's like, yeah, Americans, they always celebrate this one thing called Mardi Gras. I don't know what it is, but they get real excited about it.
It's just a holiday, right? Sometimes there's a parade in your town, maybe.
What even is like the whole thing about Mardi Gras? What do we...
It's Fat Tuesday. It's the day before Lent starts.
The day before Lent starts? Yeah, but like, isn't the parade and stuff, doesn't have anything to do with Lent, right? Isn't that whole...
Well, not anymore. I think it used to
have... Yeah, it definitely doesn't now.
Yeah, definitely not. People just go crazy at Mardi Gras parade.
Where's the day where they make the pancakes? Is that also Shrove Tuesday?
Wait.
Dude,
what?
I like
pancakes.
What's pancakes?
There's
a day they
make
pancakes.
There's a day.
They make... Oh, yeah, you don't listen to the best podcast around. Next
yeah,
to the
I do.
TV
I listen
podcast.
To TTV.
Next
dude,
to TTV
I,
podcast,
I used to,
the
but
RT
then
podcast.
I became a part
make
of
pancakes
it.
Every show of Tuesday.
Yeah, man.
We should do that. Mardi Gras pancakes, if we're ever around in real life, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Around Mardi Gras, we'll do it.
No.
But what if you
we'll
like waffles?
Show of Tuesday.
Do you like waffles? Pancakes? Do you like pancakes?
Yeah,
pancakes?
This guy knows what he's talking about.
Yeah. Not like either of them.
Okay.
All right. Well.
Good to hear.
Okay.
Thank you for your input.
I suppose before we get too
but
far,
you didn't answer if you
day.
Liked waffles or pancakes.
I like both,
waffles.
Man.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Let's do a plug or two. So today, I'd like to advertise our Patreon at patreon.com/theTTVchannel, including all of our regular perks that people should totally go and check out, and also one really cool new perk that we rolled out last week's episode.
Yeah, plug it in.
If you pay $1 or more, you get access to our Discord server, which is old, the new caveat being that you can join in and listen live to live recordings of the podcast behind the scenes.
Did we mention
like
live?
The one we're doing right now. And I have to make absolutely clear, it's live. You're live listening
live.
To live
yeah.
podcast.
It's live.
Part
it's
of a
like
live
a,
audience.
It's like
a
studio
live
audience.
Stream, but cooler because it's behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Right, it's
and
private.
Yeah.
It's like a private behind the scenes live stream.
No more, you have to see chat spam and not get your questions.
Yeah, now they can see how truly unprofessional we are. It live.
And you don't have to leave the house. You know, it's great. Everybody wins.
No one ever
you
wants
know?
To leave
Come
their house.
Nope.
What's a house?
I don't know what a house is.
I
live in a box.
It's basically that.
I think
Check
it's a specific
out.
Kind of music.
It is a kind of music,
What's
actually.
Specific kind of music?
House music.
Ah, yeah.
It's the joke's funnier when people laugh.
What the heck?
Just big, big
I refuse. I refuse to indulge.
Work too hard for this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, laughter. How's the week been treating all of you? Anything interesting happen?
Like a Batman movie came out.
The Batman movie. Of course, interesting stuff has happened.
Saw that last
night. Yeah, we already talked about that.
What did you guys think about the movie?
It was better than the Lego movie.
It
had some high praise.
On the other hand, I like the Lego movie.
I did not like
honestly.
It better than the Lego movie. It was definitely on par with the Lego movie for me, though.
Yeah, I agree.
I would say I liked it better than the Lego movie.
I think I can agree with Bar's sentiment.
I liked it. It was all right.
Yeah. Oh, to me,
what were your favorite parts? Non-spoiler.
All my favorite parts are spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah.
No. Here's my favorite part.
All my favorite parts are the things I wasn't expecting. So.
Hey guys, who always pays their taxes? Not Batman. That's perfect.
Yeah.
That's great.
Great. You spoiled the joke. Good job.
I liked the pacing of the movie. You never felt bored. You know.
Yeah, that's probably too true.
Fast, but it works for the target audience, which is kids. I mean, some adults or like older audiences might seem it's a bit too fast. But then again, you're never bored. But some people said that. Some people actually had the notion that like it was too funny, because the thing happens is that a joke appears and then you laugh, and by the time a new joke comes up, you're not done laughing, and that was. That was a complaint. I was like, do you know what you're saying?
Really? Yeah, I know.
How is that a complaint?
Yeah, that was a legitimate complaint. And he just didn't understand that's you don't sound like you're complaining. You sound like
you're crazy. I can understand if it was like an annoyance or something, but like a full out complaint just seems a bit much.
I don't even understand if it's an annoyance. Like, do you just not like having fun?
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I guess,
like,
yeah.
Some
it's like
people just want to watch the world burn, man.
There's a ton of jokes coming in all sides, and they're all really funny jokes. It's the one thing I like about the Lego movies is that they're like, it's almost like a rapid fire nonstop of actual smart jokes, you know? And the Lego movies rarely rely on like potty humor or like overt like inappropriate or, you know, like innuendos or anything.
Crude. I don't think there was ever an instance of that in the actual Lego movie. Like, maybe once in the Lego Batman movie,
it's
but
more
it was so minor.
There was one time in the Lego Batman movie where I was like,
there's one that
kids
was really
get that. Yeah. Yeah. But
it was well done. The only joke I didn't feel landed was the snake clowns.
Mm-hmm. I thought the snake clowns were pretty funny.
Snake clowns.
I thought it was
all right. I like that part.
Hashtag spoilers.
I think one thing for me is that
that's in all the trailers.
It's not a bad thing. I mean, it's a pretty good thing, but it was like it was just so funny. Like there's so many jokes that like by the end of it, like going home, I was like, man, I forgot like half the lines in this movie just because there was too many funny moments.
That was also something that I realized when I came back. I was like, actually, it was so funny. I literally forgot the funniest parts of the first half.
The funniest part warrants a second viewing for multiple reasons.
I'm going tonight. I'm going tonight.
Number one being to catch the probable possible Bionicle reference.
A lot of people said that, but I looked for it because apparently the first time I watched the movie, I knew before. Yeah, exactly. I did not see it. I looked for it so hard, and it was
from
just
nowhere. From what people
nowhere.
Say, there is a movie marquee that supposedly has the name Bionicle on it alongside other Lego themes. Like, Envy claims that he saw Ninjago. The dude on Reddit says he saw Bionicle. So it's probable to me that it's like, oh, now showing movies for like their story driven themes, and there's probably like one or two more on there too, but it flashes by really quickly.
Uncle G3 confirmed.
Speaking real quick about Ninjago though, because I mentioned this on the coverage, which you should totally check out if you watch a Lego Batman movie. We have a coverage up on our channel, the Lego Batman movie coverage. Go check it out.
Spoiler free and spoiler sections.
Yeah,
can I say something about Ninjago though, just real quick? Was that
Well, I was going to say something about Ninjago real quick, but sure.
I want to say something about Ninjago.
Kahi first, then me, then LJ.
Okay, so basically, I sat next to a bunch of high schoolers at the movie premiere. There's like a whole thing, and I just had a seat, and there's this
okay,
whole
okay. So the one
like,
thing you were
going to
say is something you've already said before. Cool. Got it.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. But yeah, they were super stoked for the Ninjago movie, which surprised me. wasn't expecting that, especially from like, you know, that age group, which I guess is like the age of kids that grew up with Ninjago. So I was just thinking, but it was just really cool that like they recognized the theme and everyone was they were all excited to go see it. I was the only trailer again that all the jokes landed on. Every other kids movie trailer that showed before the Lego Batman movie was bombed with that crowd. They weren't really having it.
Interesting.
Stupid boss.
The previews really made me realize how bad other animated movies actually
I forgot are. Like stupid movies are coming out too. I only was just remembered like reminded of the Nut Job 2, which is a looks terrible.
Dude, aren't you hyped for the Smurfs 3 and the Despicable Me like 72?
Despicable Me.
That one actually that was another one. At the very end people started laughing at that one. I'm glad they kind of cut out the Despicable Me 3 trailer.
I don't know. Those are
you
be
like
the third
Despicable
one.
Me?
Yeah, I like
dude, those are my favorite. Those are some of my favorite
case,
movies.
In that case, Despicable You.
Wow.
That was Rock Dog.
LJ, you're
Rock
just like
Dog
those trailers. The jokes didn't
garbage.
Land.
They landed. They just crash landed.
Huh. Nah, that was funny.
No, but so, yeah, anybody who goes to see the Batman movie, keep an eye out for the marquee in the first 10 minutes.
What's
the poster? Movie poster.
So, like, when yeah, I like, when I watched the
why can't you people just say that? Why you gotta like? Oh, what is an alternate? Because
that's what it's called.
How dare
it's
we
it's
use the
thing, man.
Just
it's
because you don't know
word.
Freaking yeah, English or didn't take any vocabulary
yeah,
classes.
Like, oh no,
that's
man.
That's on the top of like a theater. Where
is
like,
marquee
now showing
even an English
probably
word?
Not.
It's.
But,
I mean it's you.
Is any word in English really an English word?
No,
English
it's
really even English.
It's a
or is it just dumb Latin?
I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
Latin.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, relative to Pig Latin.
I mean,
English
essentially,
dumb
it's dumb Latin
language.
With some other words just like pulled in. You know, kindergarten isn't an English word, but we all know what that means.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a German word.
Kids in a garden. Yeah, kindergarten. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Basically, yeah. Also, you just defended our German audience. Congratulations.
Goodbye, Germanized
for German.
Dude, I'm Scandinavian, so I'm part of like the Germanic language tree. So I'm basically German. So
hey,
you know,
okay,
yeah,
I'm
I
sure.
Can say that.
That's like me saying, man, I'm American. I'm all the races.
Yeah, I'm
in
basically
America.
Mexican.
No, you guys like just messed up everything. Basically, that's all you guys
I'm basically
did.
Like. Chinese, Mexican, black. You can call me Blexican.
Blexicanese.
We're going too far. All
right.
I thought that was going
to
be a wrap.
2D34, Blexicanese.
Blexicanese, the new race.
So, I got to say, if there is actually Bionicle, you know, reference in the Lego Batman movie, I'm really liking this trend. If this is a thing, this trend of Bionicle references in the Lego films.
It's all building to something.
And then,
Illuminati!
And then
just need to drop Bionicle already. It's like the bad ex-girlfriend.
All it ever
is.
Does is hurt us.
The bat ex-girlfriend?
Dude, she was really nice.
She was nice for like 2 months.
Time, but it's over now. You gotta move on.
No, listen. Just because we had our heart broken twice... Doesn't mean the third time can't be the charm.
Sound relationship advice right there.
I know, right? Anyway, let's talk about Bionicle G3, guys.
Speaking of things that are ending. Yeah, watch it, buddy. Speaking of things that are ending, our Bionicle, Brickonicle contest is over. At the time of the release of this podcast, the entry period for the contest is over. We will be announcing winners shortly. We love everything. Oh my god!
It was such a good contest. I did not think we'd have the reach that we would as far as contests are concerned. But like, there's a lot of entries, like a lot, and a lot of really good ones.
If any of you ever were like, man, I kind of wasted my time. I don't know if I really should have entered this. It took a while to make. Know that each and every one of your entries is responsible for revitalizing my faith in the Bionicle brand. You did that. You made me realize how good
you and
be
you
in.
Alone.
You did that.
So I appreciate it.
That's
just
right.
On a personal
you,
level.
You made Bionicle great again.
You
guys.
Smart.
Oh my god.
You loyal.
Bionicle
back. I appreciate you.
Man, all right. No, it is absolutely outstanding. We got a lot of entries. I can't say the total tally, but we will announce the winner shortly, and we're really excited.
Just in the ballpark, like. How many do we have currently? Right before
a gazillion.
At the time
around
of this
70,
recording,
right?
It's over 70.
It's over 70. That is great. I'm hoping that, like, I'm wondering if there's going to be any last minute entries
there
before
might be.
Like, because we're recording this, it's still kind of
one
open,
of our
so.
Live studio audience members. It's me, KLC, is working on his entry right now.
So yeah, there you go.
There you go.
I'm super excited.
There you
I
go,
liked
man.
His first entry. I can't I, wait.
Yeah, KLC.
Yeah, quit picking favorites. Not it. Done yet.
Okay. I'm sorry. Listen, he left us a really nice letter at Brick Fair, and I have it.
He did.
So I kind of have to. I like
him.
Was
it a W? Yeah. Yeah. No, I like him too. He's a cool dude. Like, took
he's
a selfie
cool
and everything.
Dude.
That's the lesson to all of you. If you bribe us with handwritten letters, we'll talk about your mom.
Yeah, apparently so.
Can the next contest be like make the best Paraka rap? Is that
no?
Let's do it.
Absolutely not.
I love no. Paraka rap, man.
It's April Fool's Day, 2017.
I still need to do
no
top
spoilers.
10 Bionicle pickup lines.
Yo, Paraka.
Paraka, go a Paraka.
Meso, you
Paraka,
finally found
Paraka,
someone
Paraka,
who like
Basasta.
Was a Bionicle
oh,
fan
yeah,
from last night.
Oh, yeah, we did.
It
we
has
finally
become
found
a
him.
Trend of mine every Overwatch match we play to type the words yo-yo Paraka, and by John's suggestion, I am the seventh Toa, into the chat in the hopes of finding someone who will recognize those Bionicle phrases. And last night it finally happened, thanks to the word Toa,
hey.
Because we had to, like, mention Bionicle.
Well, to be fair, someone's, like, Messer said, I am the seventh Toa, and someone said, you're the seventh toe? And I was like, nah, like the Bionicles. And then someone's like, OMG.
Yeah, true.
Bionicles.
Honestly, Meso, occasionally you throw in insane Bionicle brain. I think you should just do that.
Insane
Bionicle
that's a lot more brain.
Recognizable than
that's true.
Same without a brain.
Well, no, here's the thing. Insane Bionicle brain is not really recognized by the
yeah, but
the larger fandom.
The
yeah, it's
fair.
Just the fact that Bionicle's.
I like
there.
To start
that's
small
true,
and work my way up and see like how
nah,
devoted of a fan.
If you really want to get them, you got to say, was it Gathered Friends? This is the tale of Bionicle, or something
oh, that's
like
a good
that.
One. That's
another
good
round
one.
For another tale.
Sounds like
of
the start
Bionicle.
Of rap.
Bonkles. Yeah.
Anyway, he
this
is the tale.
He seemed interested in our YouTube channel and said he'd subscribe.
Gathered so. Friends. Yeah. No, this isn't the end. It's only the beginning.
Are we
the
letting him?
I wish
the
it
end.
Was the end. Holy
yeah.
Hey, well, this friends. Isn't the end. It's only the beginning. The beginning.
Now
of
this
the
is
end.
The story all about how my island got turned upside down.
Underrated joke from Kahi right there. Hysterical laughter must ensue.
Thank
please.
You.
The island didn't get torn it's, upside it, down. It just actually, got torn apart.
Just
well,
like
I
my
mean,
heart, man.
It got
and
upside
like,
down.
Wait,
when the robot
gosh.
Came through the island and ripped it apart, it kind of fell upside down because it got split apart.
It
kind of
slid to the side from the way the video looked.
I mean, like, you don't know what it did underwater, Takuma. It might have gone upside down. It's,
I
mean,
liked
it's like
it when it was an
water
island.
I don't know what a lot of things do underwater, but I'm not going to concern myself with it.
There's fish underwater.
There's more than fish, Purple, actually. There's a lot of things.
There are dead people underwater.
Upside
yeah.
down?
No spoilers!
Upside down? Stranger Things Season 2 Season Hype?
Yeah.
Dude, don't
yeah.
mention Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah, the Super Bowl happened. The Super
oh, yeah, the
Bowl
Super
happened.
Bowl, yeah.
No one
yeah.
cares about
that. Overtime in Super Bowl history, I actually...
Yeah, that was crazy,
was that was
man.
Insane,
that was a,
man.
Yeah, that was an actual
was,
entertaining
get
game.
Those points.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, throughout the entirety of the game, I was like, I wanted the... At first, I wanted the Falcons to win. Then I was like, you know what? I want the Patriots to tie it so we get on the overtime. And then the Falcons
win. I have no obligation to any football team. I don't watch football at all. But I love a good comeback story. So when I heard
I
it was the first overtime ever, I tuned in.
Yeah, but
like,
they were the
oh,
people
man,
they didn't
hilarious.
Want to come back.
This is rich. This is gas cold.
It's like the Patriots were just like, I mean, they were getting their butts kicked.
I feel
all
really
the way
bad
the next
for
Sunday.
Any Falcons fan.
And then Lady
and then,
Gaga came
forever.
Up and motivated
yeah, exactly.
everybody with her music.
Dude, that the yeah, army
Lady Gaga,
of
like
yeah.
cast
army of drones. It's cool. Also, she like killed
like
oh, the
killed herself
yeah.
at the end too. That was funny.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wait, what?
The funny,
she's still alive.
I think the thing that I found hilarious is that she doesn't catch a football at the end. She just catches a ball. It's like she's at the Super Bowl and she's like, oh, she throws down the mic. She jumps. She grabs the ball. But it's not a football.
It
doesn't
yeah,
look like
it was a
football
like
a
soccer
to me.
Ball.
It was like a soccer
yeah.
ball. I was like, why? What, boy?
Is it?
I mean, technically it's still a football. Yeah.
What?
No, sure. I mean, but not in America.
Hashtag everywhere else in the world.
Hashtag get on our level, America.
I wish you were everywhere else in the world.
Hashtag what do you mean your level?
Our level, America? What?
Well, I mean, I'm half international, so it makes sense for me to use
half
both football.
Half international.
Half international. Every single country.
I'm 100% international by that logic.
I'm 200% international.
I'm 300%
See, Herbal, this is what happens when you try to call out someone for saying something stupid. Everyone starts...
I'm just ice.
No, you just...
Everyone hates you, like...
What?
You know what?
Pile up.
I'm pretty sure this right
your contribution was bad and you should feel
in
bad.
In space.
I liked your contribution, oh. Purple. I like
thank you, X.
Here.
At least you're nice.
Thanks.
Be nice
I think
when I
this
be.
Now that Earth is in space and whatnot, I'm 100% extraterrestrial.
No.
Yeah.
You're extraterrestrial!
I'm nice when I want to be.
Because...
is like...
extra
just...
meaning without and terrestrial meaning terra meaning Earth. You would have to be from outside, not...
I'm just, all right.
Theology all over again.
I'm just thinking...
Stop it!
Stop!
You're embarrassing Connie and Ben.
Come on.
Yeah.
No, 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 no. That's a
good
you say.
Definitely embarrassing Ben.
Oh, sorry. I meant you, Envy.
Yeah, Connie.
Wait, why?
Yeah, he just called me out. He's hot, dude. It's okay.
Nah, that was a flub, Vin. I meant Envy. I'm sorry.
You're
Inventus.
Dumb.
Tacoma, finish your thought.
My thought.
Yeah,
I had.
It's not. It's listen.
I had
right.
a thought.
Listen, it wasn't.
Oh, just me. No, it's just LJ. It's just stupid. It's just not worth it. Let's carry on.
Cool. Extraterrestrial.
Oh, hey, so glad we have you here to cry us a new Mississippi River. For just in time for Mardi Gras.
Indeed.
Ha ha.
I like crying rivers.
Well, I think it's time to stop this muddled intro. And go forth.
It's time to stop.
Into the
no,
return
it's time
of
to
our
chill.
Bionicle G3 discussion segment. So
awesome. Time to talk even less.
As a bit of a recap, last week we discussed kind of the rough beginnings of the story. We were like, okay, what could be Makuta's goal? What could be his methods?
I wasn't there.
What kind of, you know, you were not. What kind of enemies should the Toa face? What should they be trying to do? And we came up with some rough ideas involving the Mask of Time and freezing the island in a time bubble of sorts. Like, each village has to independently be freed. And in order to do that, they have to find the fragment of the Mask of Time, which was broken apart and hidden across the island by Makuta, so the Toa could not get their hands on it. And he placed each one of his elite Rakshi Guard members to guard the... Mask of Time fragment.
They're called
so elite. I got some changes to that. If you don't mind me going kind of
sure.
talking about it for a sec. All right, cool. So this I'm pitch this to you guys as a bit of a change. Because I was thinking about like originally the whole deal is that Makuta wants to raise the island, right? He wants to get rid of all the Matoran life on it.
Raise the roof.
I think it was behind the scenes where we kind of came up with the concept that like Ikimu or Mata Nui, I guess we haven't decided which one we're going to go with, and Makuta, they both were in charge of creating stuff for the island, and Makuta created all the Rahi, and Ikimu created all the Matoran. And so like now Makuta's like, oh, you know what, I think that the Rahi were actually supposed to be here. Makuta's trying to get rid of Mata Nui's creation and put his own thing into an action. He's kind of like mad at what the Matoran are doing to the island or whatever. So that was one thing where they're both kind of equals and they both had a charge in creating the island, and now that's why Makuta's wanting to wipe out the Matoran. Second thing that I thought of is that harkening back to what we were talking about a really long time ago, we came up with the idea of the Brotherhood of Makuta being a cult. And this was like several years ago when we were talking about the last time we talked about redesigning Bionicle. And I was like, what if that was the origin of the Rakshi, where instead of necessarily straight up being Makuta's lieutenants and doing everything, they were a bunch of Matoran in this kind of like secret cult thing that went, and they're, you know, they're communicating with Makuta, and they're kind of, you know, talking with the his spirit or whatever, and he gives them vague instructions to do this, and so that's why they go through, they break the Mask of Time, they go through, they, you know, all the villages, they steal the Masks of Power or whatever from the shrine, and that's why those are gone as well, and so these Rakshi that we talked about were half animal and half Matoran kind of hybrids, because, you know, Makuta is all about the Rahi and everything, so like they're fused together with Rahi. They're like half Rahi now.
Okay.
Wait, you were talking?
Wow.
Was that the only change? Ouch. That they're fused Matoran, like with animals?
No, that they are, that like Makuta didn't necessarily send them, but they're like, they kind of got the, you know, they kind of got the idea from as the cult to do it, like, okay, to become the Rakshi.
Can there be a seventh Rakshi?
No.
I mean, like, the Rakshi are a cool concept. We could do like a lot of stuff just with that kind of thing, because they're no longer meant to be clone sets. They're kind of like each one takes inspiration from a different creature of sorts. And I believe we actually have some sketches this week.
Yeah, actually, Ven did some. Ven, me, and Purple did some concepts that we're going
like
to
present those
to show
in
you guys
the chat right now.
All right, let's do that. All right, you guys ready?
Hey.
All right, Ven, I'm going to post yours. You can talk about this.
All right, sure.
I'm not ready.
Briefly.
What up, your boy,
Ben? We found out animals or Rahi that we wanted each of the Rakshi to kind of emulate. So.
Yep, and they're all minifigure creatures. Turok.
So yeah, I overheard these guys in call talking about the Rakshi idea, and I was like, you know what? I kind of want to like sketch out just like a quick little concept of how I would imagine Rakshi minifigures to be. Originally, they were actually talking about each of the Rakshi having mini builds, and I missed that. So I just drew them as like half minifigure, half whatever, you know, hybrids. So that's why some of them will have like minifigure bodies, but not legs. They'll have stuff like, for instance, Turok has spider legs. I don't even think I need to explain Pranrock.
He's just such an amalgamation.
Pranrock is my personal favorite because they were like, hey, let's make Pranrock like a scorpion with wings or something like that. And I was like, dude, that sounds amazing. So I did that. And
the initial inspiration was like a sand bat kind of.
We were like, Kurok should be a yeti. So I gave Kurok the like a bigger body, kind of like
Axel.
What's his name? Axel. Yeah, Axel, yeah. From Nexonites. And I gave Vorok a sort of pitchfork, or no, a trident, I guess I should say. A pitchfork, whatever. A trident and a little sword to resemble a fork and a knife, because he's the Rakshi of hunger.
He's very hungry.
I can see it now vividly in my head in the Bionicle TV show. Vorok would be the one out of the six that's kind of slight comedic relief, just like chomping on a mutton chop or something, and like cutting it up, like trying to eat people.
Wait,
oh yeah, and that's
that
another
we
thing.
Now have animals?
Yeah, sure. We didn't pick like random animals. Mahi. We tried to match these creatures with the. Was it the? I guess not really the personality, but whatever the Rakshi was based on. Like for instance, I said that Vorok was the Rakshi of hunger. So Turok is the Rakshi of fear. So we were like, what's scary? Spiders. Leerok was the Rakshi of poison. So we were like, okay, snake, and you know, so on
we
so
might,
forth.
We might change that to venom now, though.
Yeah,
not you, uh-huh. Ven, but actual Ven.
Kurok the Yeti, I was kind of thinking sense. Abominable snowman kind of thing, rampaging around, just angry, but that might
be
changed.
The difference?
We're talking about, yeah, I also had a concept for the Wendigo.
Wendigo ain't angry.
As well.
But yeah.
Oh, I mean, have you not seen just, Until Dawn?
Yeah, those Wendigos are pretty angry, dude.
That's true.
Yeah, but nah.
I'm not drawing the parallel between disintegration and
There is none. That's where
oh,
the
there
fall
is
apart.
None.
So some of them.
Listen, the whole thing of the elements and stuff, that might actually be changed, because like they're holdovers from what the original Rakshi were. They were just like, for me, I thought of like what would look cool in these Rahi form.
Yeah,
you know?
We mostly drew inspiration from those attributes that the Rakshi had. So like some of them won't have it. Like obviously, Cthulhu has nothing to do with disintegration.
Gurak and Cthulhu is my fave. Cthulhu.
I guess this Cthulhu is my scorpion doesn't really have much to do with what was Panrock's thing?
It was like
fragmentation.
Explosions.
Yeah, it's fragmentation.
Explosions. It works because he has a very fragmented design. Lots of creatures.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, aside from that, yeah, that's all I gotta say on that.
I love him to death because I had initially wanted, like, if you're talking Rakshi, I would imagine kind of, like, Nexo Knights. They have, like, these buildable figures, kind of, small-scale mixel joints to, like, go up against the Toa, and that's kind of what I'd been thinking for the Rakshi, but then I saw these bitty figure designs and I was, like, instantly in love.
Mm-hmm.
I would buy all of these.
I love I feel like one of the things for Cthulhu, or Cthulhu, as we decided to nickname it, came from the inspiration from the art book, the Bionicle art book. You know how one of the concepts for Umarok had him like with the tentacles on his face and everything, and we're like, that was like such a cool idea.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I also did some sketches as well, slightly based off Ben's thing. See him. Slightly based off. All right. So obviously enough. They're not as good as Vens or Purples, but
Jet this is Lego, we're actually going to make them based on your concepts. I'd see Kurok and Vorok being big
figs.
I didn't
really put that much effort.
And I'm like,
mind.
Nah, they should be axle figs.
Dude, he looks so angry.
Turok is the first one in the show.
He looks like something that's really small and cute, trying to be angry.
Exactly.
Oh, dude, he's
that's
furious.
What minifigures are, man. But okay, so the one thing I wanted to keep in the there is like the element of the skull kind of that the Rakshi had. And I think like for the minifigure helmet, there should be some included element of that, no matter what you're.
Most notably, you're teeth.
The teeth.
What's skull?
The Rakshi headpiece.
Yeah, yeah. The Rakshi headpiece. You know how it's like. It
you think that looks
like
a skull?
I mean, it's
the
skull.
Rakshi headpiece. Kind
it
of.
Might not look
yeah.
like
it just looks
human.
Like a snake head to me.
Doesn't have to be a human
skull
to me.
Yeah.
It does not look at all like a skull to me. It just looks like a regular old snake head.
Okay.
Are we looking at the same picture?
I'm not talking about the victim, I'm talking about the actual piece.
Oh.
I never thought of them
yeah,
as
no,
skulls.
Yeah, no, I get that.
No.
I don't
Yeah,
not
no,
sure
I mean like
piece.
The it's supposed to the when I redrew it's supposed to emulate a skull, not the original Rakshi piece.
No. The way you were talking, I thought you were saying, "Oh, you wanted to emulate the skull look of the original Rakshi."
Mm-hmm. Because like every one of the Rakshi, they would not use the same head mold, but they would have commonalities shared between them to get that cohesion.
Right, and you can kind of see it with the my other concept, which is Cthulhu again.
Normal
with,
legs.
So it has the same thing. Yeah, normal legs this time. So I actually went back and forth on like the Ursula legs.
It's a head crab zombie.
And I was like, man, I wonder what could go on with that, but.
That looks cool.
So the,
I like it
essentially,
a lot.
Essentially, yeah, both of these have like they have like on their armor they have like the Nuva symbol.
So the Nuva symbol is a bad symbol.
That's basically, that's the Nuva symbol is supposed to be the symbol for the elements.
Okay.
Essentially, so I would so in the idea that I had the Nuva symbol and like a lot of the masks are stored in these like shrines, right? Shrines, they're like almost like in this museum theme because no one can use Kanohi masks. Power in the same way, and so they go in. These cult members, they steal all the masks and they steal the Nuva symbols, and essentially that's how they power up their forms and merge themselves with the Sarahi. And until like you know, in the future, the Toa will not only get the masks, they'll also get the Nuva symbols in the following year or something.
Here's a question from one of our live studio audience members, Roughly Tufty. Right. Are they still being controlled by little slug dudes, Crota, or are they their own creature?
No. I'm.
I would imagine that the heads are the equivalent, like you mentioned, head crab zombies. That's basically what those are.
Head crab.
They're not controlling the Matoran, or they become fused with the Matoran.
Yeah, I would say that like it's just like the same personalities and stuff that these Matoran shine through. I feel like that's what would
perhaps
make them
their,
interesting
their
characters.
Their appearances could be like an effect of adapting to the environment that the Matoran lives in. I don't know.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I feel like that would be important because again, one thing in Bionicle that the Rakshi really failed in is that they all had the same personality. Borak had the same personality. Even the Barag, there are two of them. They're the Bard Queens, and they had the same personality too.
The curse
so.
Of being clones.
Yeah, basically.
Exactly. So
really
we should. So I'm envisioning something almost kind of like the in 2004. You know how we had the Matoran that were like, you know, supposed to be the chosen one, and they were kind of like, you know, right? And we had that whole back and forth going on with the actual Toa and them. Mm-hmm. So maybe this the same thing would happen this way.
Awesome. All right. Let me see Purple's concept art.
Mine is like really crappy because I just like sketched it really
it's
quick.
The best one
everyone doing this thing has said, it's really crappy because like we want to appear humble.
No, I actually think mine's crappy because I didn't finish most of them.
Really figures or anything. So.
Is that what I'm
That's true, but I like the concepts of like what each thing would look like. The one in the top right, which one is that?
The red one. I don't know any other names, but like...
Top right or top left?
Top right.
Oh, wait, now that's the... I don't remember which
You
one
came
that
prepared,
is.
I see.
I think it's the white one.
You are used.
Oh, wait, no, that's the white one. Yeah, no, like, listen, I wasn't expecting to, like, talk about this.
Top,
I was
top
gonna, like,
right
say,
is the
like,
Yeti.
I think
yeah,
they're really cool.
Be, like, polar bear-esque in a way. Like, very burly and stuff.
Mm-hmm. I've got a question.
What's up?
What?
You say you didn't finish them all. The one in the middle on top, I noticed it has no arms. Is that a specific choice, or is that one you didn't finish?
That's a choice.
Okay, because I was going to say, I like it without the arms.
Which one had no arms?
Yeah.
And what, middle? With the wings, I'm assuming?
No, yeah.
Who's top middle.
Panorak?
The elephant?
That's supposed to be Leerock.
Yeah, the green one, because it's, like, poison-themed. I based it off of, like, those lizards that have, like, the frilly things.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Gotcha.
Good idea.
Thank you.
It's a good one.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
The one directly next to it is the red one, and it's supposed to be based off of more of a centipede, I guess. Because centipedes are kind of creepy looking.
Centipedes are really creepy. Like,
I'm
more creeped out by centipedes than spiders.
I like the design. I'm not sure how they work in the minifigure.
Yeah, that's
kind
the thing.
Of scale,
I have no idea.
Yeah, but like, I do like that design a lot.
Yeah, I wasn't really designing these with minifigures in mind. It was just like, what would they look like if I wanted them to look a certain way? And,
right.
Yeah.
What would they look like in a movie?
Yeah. The one in, like, the middle left, I guess, is the brown one.
Panorak.
The scorpion.
It's like, yeah.
Panorak, yeah.
Yeah. And, like, well, I gave, like, the scorpion tail to Leerock instead, but Panorak has, like, more of the scorpion body, I guess, like, with the four legs and, like, the arms and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The only one who... The one next to it.
You got a fully spiked back, like the Rakshi of old, I see. That's neat.
Yeah, I like those spikes.
I like the spine.
The one next to it is the black one, who's, like, hunger and stuff, so I made it, like, sort of skeletal theme, so it's got, like, ribs and stuff. Mm. And its mouth is, like, the only one that's, like, open... It's hungry and stuff.
Ah.
And the last one is the blue one. It's like fish themed and stuff. It has like a giant shark fin.
I do
like
that a lot.
What if
Vorok was like bulky? He was an axle figure, but the printing was like bony, like ribcage. He's emaciated. That'd be an
interesting
really cool.
That would
look
I would not
really
mind
cool.
that. I like that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Would be really cool.
I love ribcage patterns. So
yeah.
I would think that like his entire armor and stuff
at
would
some
be
point,
more skeletal
I'm try
in nature.
Making,
yeah,
like legitimate concept art, where that could kind of like the Bionicle art book, where like some of it gets adapted into sets. So I'm just gonna like go at it.
That would be amazing.
Take
man.
Take a more purple like approach.
Purple like.
I think I think you know, as long as we have the, you know, concepts that people can build from, that's what's going to be important.
Yeah.
Because we're coming up with all this stuff, and like we need some visual stuff to back it up, which is why I've been drawing a little bit.
For sure, we've got a lot of ideas circulating. Now let's see, what does everybody think of this direction we're going in? Specifically, the people that weren't around last week.
Yeah. What do you guys think?
I'm thinking it's looking pretty cool. It's not exactly the direction I was imagining with Rakshi, but I also wasn't really imagining a direction with Rakshi, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't think of Rakshi whatsoever. I was just focusing, like when I think Bionicle and the Toa fighting things, they fight the habitat around them first.
I mean, these right are cool. I mean, I kind of like the idea of there being like, especially the Nuva symbol, just sort of being like a general like elemental symbol. So like it appears in both the Rakshi or the Toa. The landscape around, that's a neat idea. what was the story behind the Rakshi again?
They're cult members, essentially. They are they're trying to bring bring Makuta back.
Okay, so they're
to
sentient
life.
Then, yeah. Right? They can think. And
they are
okay.
Sentient. They can think. They're actual Matoran.
They're Matoran.
That
okay.
Converted into this.
So they were the Matoran destined to be the Toa that became Roxy instead, or
no, okay. No. Nah, they're just cult members who are
like
who
the
really
back in Minog, there was supposed to be like a seventh tribe that worshipped Makuta.
So they're like Shin and his gang and Ninjago then, right?
In a sense, okay. Yeah.
In a sense, yeah.
No, now we have to rewrite everything.
Real quick, though, I must say, while I like the idea of making the Nuva symbols more general, not in favor of them being on the Rakshi, because if the concept of the Rakshi having elements separate from the main six is kept, then it would be conflicting.
That's a good point. It's...
That is a good point.
For the Rakshi of air, or the Rakshi of poison to have the symbol of air on them.
Right, right, exactly.
And I really do want to keep those, unique elements, poison and anger.
Well,
because
I really like the concept
of
the
Rakshi.
Didn't the Rakshi
have their own symbols? Or am
the
I just
Rakshi,
misremembering?
I believe they did.
They might.
The Rakshi had a general symbol,
symbol,
but they did not have individual symbols.
Yeah, they had that spine symbol.
Yeah, I remember
that. Like the upside down question mark.
Their symbols were the staff piece.
No, it's for the Rakshi.
Maybe so.
Same thing.
Same, they're interchangeable.
Same general idea.
I mean, it's literally a picture of a Kreta.
Right, yeah.
With spines and the Rakshi head, so.
Also
Kreta. It's meant to be both.
I mean,
Krata. Isn't it Krata?
Aren't the Rakshi just Krata and, robot bodies? Okay,
they
so
are.
It's the same thing.
It's a Krata Matata.
So it's kind of a... Yeah.
They're Krata within Krata.
Either way, I like the concept of the Rakshi too much to ditch it after six. It'd be cool, because we need more adversaries. There's always a ton of different minifigures for the Toa to fight in sets. We could always have more Rakshi come along with cool, varied designs,
Dude, Rakshi is such a cool name.
It
like,
is.
I'm just, thinking about it. I'm wow. Whoever thought of that, you deserve all the cookies in the world.
Mad props.
I think the main thing we do have to figure out is Rakshi. When we're approaching from a set design perspective, having the Rakshi be the first minifigure scale enemies is cool. We do need larger constructs, and I'm curious as to where the Rakshi fit into the concept of brick built Rahi, like Manas, Nui Rama, Nui.
Well, okay,
Jaga,
so the idea is that eventually, Makuta is trying to get them to kind of summon these Rahi to destroy the village as well.
But not during the first year.
Actually, I would say during the first year. That's during the thing. But the when I say eventually, it's because if you remember the idea kind of placeholder plot we had was that the Toa were going the entire island was frozen. The Toa were going from island to island, kind of working in and on freezing each piece of the island. So the reason why the Rakshi are working on getting these Rahi out to destroy these villages, but it's not immediate, which is why while they're unfreezing the fire village, the Rakshi aren't going to the ice village and completely wiping that out while they're still making their way down there.
So the first wave of
taking some time
conceivably would mainly be location focused. And it would be,
location focus, Rakshi and the location. Yeah.
Alright. And no vehicles,
possibly.
No brick-built creatures, no nothing. And then the second wave would
introduce. Second wave
creatures.
Could have some vehicles, possibly. We could do a Hound of Boxar thing to fight the Rahi, but it wouldn't be necessarily based around having Rahi.
Yeah, and then Rakshi would act Rahi, as beast tamers, a la the super the elite Nexo Knights villain minifigures kind of a sense, where they control the horde of creatures and the bigger entities.
Bo-Rock.
Use Bo-Rock later.
Bo-Rakshi.
Bo-Rakshi.
There you go. What if just the whole idea behind it is the Rakshi are leading the Bo-Rock?
Well, okay, so here's something I was thinking about the Bo-Rock. Spitting this idea out, because I gave some instruction to Purple to draw something the other day, and I was like, what if... So the Bo-Rock are supposed to be these things that kind of cleanse the earth, right? They're part of that whole deal. So and that fits in what we're doing of Makuta, where Makuta wants to cleanse the island, and so did the Bo-Rock. So what if the Bo-Rock were not the Bo-Rock before they were a swarm, but what if they weren't a swarm? What if they're more like these more gigantic Rahi things that were supposed to be
making the Bo-Rock the O-1 Rahi?
Essentially, yeah.
Interest.
I'm not in favor.
Yeah.
Same.
Right, why not?
Maybe if they were something like a colossus-sized lumbering giant that was slowly that's the idea.
I feel like Rahi...
They're like huge gigantic.
I basically feel that it's a matter of naming, and I feel like Rahi is good enough. Orot can be used for something else.
Yeah, no, here's my issue with it. You're introducing the Borok as these entities that need to cleanse whatever island we're on. And you're only introducing them as singularities. Just one per element, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to make them absolutely destructive. Just either massive or incredibly powerful. To the point where the Toa would not be able to feasibly stand up against one of them on their own.
Right.
That seems a little unusual because then you have to go... You have to have every single Toa go to every single region and fight them all at once. And again, they're still incredibly powerful. Strong enough to decimate or obliterate entire regions all on their own. One Toa would not be able to stand up against them.
Okay, no, that's actually a good idea.
It kind of divvies it up in a way where...
What if we did...
...with exo-Toa suits. Vehicle sets that aren't vehicles.
Well, we could also
even then,
do,
the exo-Toa armor would have to be incredibly powerful.
Here's what I'm thinking of, actually.
Let's just go all Pacific Rim on this. The Borok are basically kaiju, and they have to get their Jaegers.
Well, like, I feel like... All right, so what if... I think what you're right, LJ, is that like having six of these unstoppable giant monsters is already kind of too much, especially for a year. But what if we kind of tied in the concept of the Borok queens, right? And maybe we can go back to having the Borok be the swarm or something. But like the actual, just the concept of having maybe two of these gigantic, colossal like
Rahi
beings that are gonna, you know, giant Rahi, they're gonna kill the thing. And those are the two Borok queens. And maybe, you know, they're lumbering towards, you know, they're gonna unite and they're doing everything, and the Toa are trying
two
to stop
them.
Two
of them, maybe.
I mean, two I like
them. Maybe I can
it fits
see
in
it
with
as
previous.
Though,
it's an homage to previous canon and an actual.
I mean,
actual,
that
like,
works. And if we're insistent upon using the Borok and the Rakshi in year one, we totally
maybe not
could
year one
do that. I still think we're perfectly serviceable using a one rocket.
Essentially, like, here's what we're doing. We're coming up with like a story that can neatly fit into three parts.
Exactly.
Essentially.
So ideally,
that'll happen in year two.
Ideally, I would do Rakshi year one, Rahi year two, Borok year three. That's ideally how I would do it, to space it out. And have
sounds
all
good
the
to me.
Original antagonists. It's just the trick is finding a story reason. And also finding viability in the sets. Like, if the Rahi aren't going to be around until year two, then what are the sets going to be like for year one?
Oh,
that's kind of the problem I'm running
right
up against. Because for me, intrinsically, up until now, when I've thought of System Bionicle, it's almost, you know, the whole thing we discussed was brick-built landscapes with small brick-built creatures. And if we're not having the brick-built creatures, since the Rakshi are minifigures, then we lose a lot of that potential. For year one,
I think the Rahi should be in year one.
Yeah,
I am not going to disagree with you. I feel like that's good. My whole thing was coming up with a reason, the story reason to have the Rahi.
Totally, important.
I mean,
that's my thing. I think
if the Rahi are just beasts and creatures within the island, they don't really need a story reason to have them included. They're just animals
that have been mind controlled by Makuta infected masks. Formula War.
Yeah.
Right, but like, all right, so in the concept we're talking about as they're going around freezing the islands, why aren't the other islands completely destroyed by the time the Toa get there? Because the Rahi, like, so, sure, they're able to get to, like, you know, maybe the Fire Village, and they unfreeze it before the Rahi get there, and they're like, yay.
The
but in the
Rahi,
meantime, the Rahi
the
are just...
Rakshi?
Rahi.
Okay.
Right,
because
we're talking about
Rahi.
Yeah, because they're just
like
Rahi, they're mindless.
Like a bunch of dogs coming over to my house.
Right, they're just like a swarm of animals just coming. So like they're able to see one village, but the Rahi would have like, you know, also just run over the other villages before they could get to them in time.
Not necessarily. They're just like we were saying. They're just animals.
I don't...
So a village can fend off against animals. They're a problem, and eventually,
right? But the villages are frozen.
Might get overrun
because of the Mask of Time.
Why aren't
the
Rahi
frozen too?
I thought that I would assume the Rahi are frozen too.
And see, that's kind of what I was thinking is, you know, what if it's kind of a race to
Yeah, I thought
the villages before all the Rahi are unfrozen.
I thought our villain for year one was the Rakshi, right? Not the Rahi. The Rahi are just like participants, just as much as the villages and the Tornar.
Maybe that's something. So the Rakshi should be year one.
Who just left?
No, I'm thinking about it. Yeah, I'm thinking about it.
The Rakshi are still year one. They're freezing the islands. They're doing all that jazz. At the end of the year, Toa unfreeze the islands, and now they have a sudden Rahi problem. And that's the next issue, because while the islands are frozen, all the Rahi were kind of kept in stasis.
Okay, right. Okay, so what if we made
this massive issue where they're the next threat.
So they froze the island in order to get all the actual, like, you know, like I said before, the Mass and Nuva symbols, and that's the only reason that island is currently, the villages are frozen in the meantime. And so once they're unfrozen, then the Rahi start attacking, and then it's supposed to lead up. Makuta is trying to bring back the stuff with the borrowed coins and everything.
So in solving one issue, they, you know, accidentally cause another.
The same is true for us. Because now, if the Rahi are not awoken until the villages are unfrozen, what are the Sets?
The Sets are what we said before. They're either a location with a Toa and Rakshi, or they are a very small location with Toa and Rahi, or they're like three
the
of them.
Rahi
are frozen story-wise, but not the Sets aren't
story-wise.
Really
not doesn't yeah. The Rakshi are still going
to
face them.
Say. Honestly, I'm still in favor of mechs and stuff.
I mean, I don't think they're mutually exclusive. You can do both.
Yeah.
Let's walk this through again. I feel we're on two different wavelengths. In year one, the islands are frozen in time. The Rahi are normal creatures on the island. They are also frozen.
Yes.
The Toa's job is to go around, fight the Rakshi, unfreeze the island.
Yes.
Who fights who in the Sets? Because the Sets represent Toa, the conflict of the story.
Yes. Right, Toa versus Rahi and Rakshi.
Well, I don't think
the Rahi are not combatants.
No, the Rahi are animals. They're active participants in whatever they're being involved in. The Rahi don't necessarily have to be bad or good. They're third parties. So in this instance, we can have conflicts within Sets where the Toa are utilizing the Rahi to fight the Rakshi, and vice versa, where the Rakshi are utilizing the Rahi to fight the Toa.
Mm.
You can in year one, because they're frozen.
Why not? Because they're unfreezing islands. That's the story. So the Set doesn't... Are you expecting the Set to represent a frozen island where there are no participants except for the Toa and the Rakshi?
I mean, that's kind of the question I'm asking.
No.
The Sets represent the conflict of the story. You buy the Set,
no,
and
listen,
you play out
Mesa,
the story.
They,
if you're buying all the Sets after the story's been resolved...
No. We're not, the Toa
are fighting the Rakshi to unfreeze the island, but now they're fighting the Rakshi after the village has already been unfrozen.
No, that's that's the battle. That's what they're fighting.
That's the battle.
Exactly.
So they complete their task and then they fight.
It's just like how in the box, when the task is to get a mask, there's a mask right there in the center and they're both fighting over it.
Yeah, so you can actually see the beginning battle and then end of the conflict.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
In this set, you only see the end of the conflict.
What?
I see.
Okay. I don't.
Yeah. I mean, I've been following Meso this whole time. I don't know what everyone else's problem is.
I get what point you're trying to make. I just don't see how it's a problem.
Yeah. Like, I'm not necessarily saying that, like, what you're saying is wrong. I'm saying that, like, why does it matter?
Yeah.
Exactly.
What is it actually, like...
Why does it matter it's the end of the conflict? I think
it's intrinsic to how a story is told and represented.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. Year one is Rakshi, year two is Rahi, right?
No.
Yes. No. No.
Oh, okay, so I missed something somewhere along the way.
Yeah, so did I. Wait, what?
So you haven't been following.
Yeah, apparently so. we added the Rahi back to year one.
I could have sworn it was said several... Okay, I missed that change.
It's meandering a little bit in circle.
Yeah,
because we did mention that after the end of the year the Rahi were unfrozen and then they started to attack the Toa,
That was the thing that was mentioned. I thought that was the whole hook.
Is year one is Toa versus Rokshi. They complete their task by unfreezing the islands, but that also unfroze all the Rahi, and that's where our second conflict, year two, came from.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That was the story point.
Okay. So in that case, it is year one.
Well, no, that's how it was originally until Meso and Vi were talking about how they wanted the Rahi to be in the first wave of sets.
That's the only reason we're discussing this right now. Let's work through this a little bit.
So, how are the Toa having these fights? Let's say the islands are frozen. Do you have to be on the island to be frozen, or if somebody's outside the island and the island's frozen, can you walk into it unaffected? Or do you walk into it and you're immediately frozen?
So,
I kind of always imagined it as the Toa weren't around when whatever happened. So then, think of it like an EMP going off. If an electric device is in the area, it gets shut down. But after it's gone off, you bring in an electrical device and it still works.
What if the
Not saying we literally use
in the in the original concept, it was because they didn't have elemental powers. That's why it was almost like because the islands are put to sleep by the combination of the Mask of Time Shattering and also the Nuva symbols, right? And so that everyone of that elemental power was completely taken out, but these six Toa, or just, sorry, these six Matoran that don't have any elemental powers are left.
Okay. How did the freezing of the villages play into the Rokshi? What was their involvement with that? Is it like the Rokshi were the
ones that made it happen?
They instigated the freezing.
Okay, I actually kind of see how that works. So anyone with an elemental power, they get frozen instantly. And the reason the Rokshi are immune to that is because they have natural powers that are opposite to the elements.
Exactly.
Similar to G1. Nice. You know, like fear is opposite to courage and so on and so forth. And courage is a fire thing. Yada. And that's how they're able to interact with the Nuva symbols and instigate this freezing.
Right.
Now, at that rate, how are the Toa able to get around this, because they do intrinsically have elemental powers?
That's a good question, because I'm not exactly sure how the Toa get here. That's a you question, Kai.
Let's see.
Because I'm not sure, because are we still going by the idea that the Toa were Matoran? Okay. Yep.
That was a thing that was mentioned last week, the Toa were late.
Yeah, that's it. They don't have any elemental powers until they become Toa. That's how they survive the freeze. Mm-hmm.
They basically have the most hidden potential, but it manifested itself in a non-existent.
Their powers are dormant. So when the island freezes and latches on or freezes all the elemental powers and the people with elemental powers, it doesn't affect them because their powers are dormant. But what it could do is actually activate their powers.
That's where I was going with that. Because they don't have any elemental powers now, the outlet that the Nuva symbols have to go through everyone is redirected, and it's redirected towards them, and that's why they have more. Obviously, the Toa have more power than any of the Matoran.
I've
got a quick question.
What's that?
Okay,
because it just seems like there's more about elements of the Mask of Time than time. Why is the Mask of Time differentiating between elements?
Well, it's kind of like what they were saying. It's kind of a cross between the Mask of Time and the Nuva symbols. So somehow they interact, and when they're both
Nuva symbols through the Mask of Time, or vice versa.
Which I would imagine could be done with all legendary masks.
That's different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Okay, legendary mask. In fact, we could use that as a reason how the Toa upgrade year after year after year is that they, whatever new legendary mask that they have upgrades them via
the download patches, in a sense.
So, the only six Matoran on the island, they are the Toa, Tahu, Kapaka.
Yes, the only ones that aren't frozen.
Yes, assuming we're having six.
So then they kind of go, they have a Takua role in the beginning. They unfreeze everything, and after that, they become Toa?
No, they become Toa
as soon as
the island is frozen. They've got dormant elemental.
I like to think it's kind of a G2 but scenario then, when times are dark and all hope seems lost. But, call upon. Yeah.
But they still don't have
any
powers.
They do have powers after the mask is
activated. They do have powers.
Fate rarely calls upon us at a moment of truth.
The thing that happens is the Toa are simply Matoran with dormant powers. So they're kind of outcast. No one, they don't have any powers that seem to manifest themselves at the time that this happens.
Uh-huh.
So people think they're powerless uh-huh. entirely. The Mask of Time freezes the island. That event freezes everybody with powers, but since the Toa do have elemental powers that are just dormant inside their bodies, what actually happens is instead of being frozen by the Mask of Time, it activates their powers. It flips the switch.
Okay, but
so right. at that point, and they change into Toa. So instead of being frozen, they actually become Toa.
And okay, this is because of the yes. Nuva symbols, which somehow, like, maybe they kind of send out a cry for help.
Here's what happens. And yeah,
that's a great way to start idea. That.
We could say the Nuva symbols are, yeah, like, exactly, like the Mask of Life, or like the Red Star, kind of. You know how the Red Star was able to. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and so then their cry for help is to kickstart their powers, and because it's such an unnatural way of turning them into Toa, they're immune to the effects of the time freeze?
Well, they're immune to the effects of the time freeze because they don't have any active powers when it happens. That's why that happens.
Okay, right. I see. Right, right, so, right. So anyone with elemental powers coming in afterwards, they're fine.
Yeah,
they're fine.
It's sort of like an EMP that happens right. around the island. So once it's passed, it's over with. Okay. Now, theoretically, then, here we go. Here could be part of the conflict here. Theoretically, okay. if the Rakshi were to get the pieces of the Mask of Time back and activate it again, then the Toa would be frozen. So, yeah. if we're assuming mm-hmm. that each piece of the Mask of Time is somewhere on or in each region by the Koros or whatever, what the Rakshi's goal could be is to travel to the Koros to get the pieces. What the Toa's goal could be is to travel to the Koros and unfreeze the island. So that's where they're fighting over.
And so there's your natural conflict.
Right.
Okay. And so they fight the Rakshi there.
So, the Nuva symbols almost like they're this channeling thing for all of the elemental powers that everyone has, right? Everyone's frozen. So because of that, part of this cry for help involves, because normally all their power goes and is dispersed around all the Matoran, and they kind of send it straight to the Toa, and that's how they're able to, like, that's how activates their powers and also gives them the abilities beyond any other Matoran. Go on. Come on.
So what I've been trying to say is my only problem with this kind of line of thinking is it gives us a good reason for why the Toa are unaffected, but I feel like we lose kind of the whole point of having the Matoran to Toa story, because the conflict doesn't start until
we
that
do for the first
irrelevant.
Year. Yes.
Wait, we do.
We
what
do not have a Toa Matoran relationship for the first year because the villages are frozen.
No, I mean, I thought part of our, you know, well, I don't know what I'm trying to call it. I thought part of the appeal of this new G3 was that we wouldn't start out with Toa at the beginning. We would start out with...
No, yeah. The appeal was not so that. The appeal was that the Toa aren't aliens coming into the island and then suddenly have to interact.
Okay.
So they have established relationships.
It was just a method of getting the Toa there. It wasn't meant to be like, oh, let's have the heroes start out as Matoran and eventually become Toa.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because then you're
exactly.
up to the risk of,
misunderstood
like, what kind
that.
Of sets are you going to have and who are the protagonists, right. et cetera, can't introduce two cast characters, et cetera. But... because of this, like, the story, we can have some scenes of them interacting with their friends or the village elders before the cataclysm happens, to, like, plant those seeds, and then we can later revisit the dynamics of, okay, so now that I'm in this kind of a protector role, how does this change my relationship with my friends and coworkers and stuff?
Mm-hmm. And if you're dedicated to the memory loss idea, which I'm not, but if you did want to adapt to that, then simply the act of the Matoran becoming the Toa could erase their memories.
Yeah. I could. I don't like that. I don't like that.
I'm not interested
in
the memory
loss
concept.
Yeah, I'm not either, but I feel like there are people out there that are. So
I like the motivation behind them. You know, they're a part of the village.
Yeah.
They're friends with everyone. They see all their friends and buddies and pals frozen.
I like
the memory loss concept.
That drives them forward.
When there's actually a mystery to be told and there's not.
I did have an idea earlier that I was trying to kind of bridge into. That's why I was asking all these questions.
Cool.
So instead of the Rahi being an active participant in year one, what you could do instead is have certain Rahi be participants in year one, and maybe the way to unfreeze each region is to awaken the creature of that region, and you could bring back the elemental creatures.
So that was my idea with the with what I was talking about, the Borok, in which the Borok are kind of these elemental creatures. That kind of, but they were like way more ambiguous than the creatures in G2 were.
I think that's
like the creatures in G2 were always.
Well, the thing is, I don't think you need to call them Balrog in that case because that has nothing to do with Balrog. At that point, you're kind of just pandering G1.
Well, I mean, they were eventually like the whole deal that like the they were fighting together and the Rocks are trying to convince the creatures to cleanse the island while the Toa are trying to defend
it. Then just make them separate creatures. The Balrog are intrinsic with destruction. So if they're going to be elemental, they're not going
to. There's no point in using the name if you're not going to adapt that idea.
The Borok like, I know we're not going about, like, oh, you must adhere. Like, the Rakshir are already an adaptation, but the Borok have a very specific connotation to them, a very specific set of rules, and a very distinctive appearance. So, if we were going to just reuse the name without any attributes of the characters themselves, wouldn't be worth it.
I feel like as long as they can turn into balls, we're good. But
I think that's the least interesting part of the Borok that does not need to be adapted.
Really?
The Borok?
Ball rock. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well. Let's see. So, all right. Let's start thinking about what the correlation between the sets in the story.
There is a question before we do that, though. Mask of Time. Okay. You mentioned that it would be hidden in the Koras or near the Koras, and
it would be.
Get it?
I would. Okay. So what I was thinking is that like what causes this. Yeah, the, what causes the pulse is the Rakshi kind of splintering the mask of time.
Okay,
yeah.
So how did the Rakshi then get the splintered pieces to the Korra?
Well, what I'm thinking is the pulse kind of blows up the mask, and each piece just travels to each it flies to each region.
Right, it's drawn to the Nuva symbol.
Yeah.
I mean, like, because the pulse is emulated through the Nuva symbols, so it kind of is drawn to them. You know.
What if it's just kind of like an intrinsic thing about legendary masks where it's like kind of almost a failsafe against abuse where every time it's used, all the pieces separate and you just kind of teleport back to their original locations?
That's a funny idea.
Just to make sure it is an effort every time.
No,
you don't
like
want to just, you know, use...
The more you abuse
you don't
a legendary mask, it cracks and begins to break.
Right, exactly. So you can't use it
I wasn't going with that idea. Oh. I was just saying that it's an effort to use it. It's not just something people can use flippantly. It's like, this is an incredible power, so it's just kind of an innate thing about the mask that once it gets used, bam, all the pieces separate, it goes back. It is going to be an entirely new effort to use it a
every
second time.
Every time you use it, it breaks.
To discourage repeat use.
With great power comes great fetch questing.
I do not mind that, except, like, at the end, I was thinking about having enough, like, you know, legendary mask for Toa to use as, like, we were talking about them combining. And that would ruin that aspect.
Not really. They would still have to collect the mask again and then bring them all together and then use them at one time to defeat the ultimate evil. And then after that point, the masks are gone once more.
Plus, if we're still going with the one mask a year idea, that's something
that actually
be able
works
to do until year six. Well, we got a ways to
plan
it.
I mean,
there's nothing to say we couldn't come up with some story reason why extended
amount
of time.
I like it because it gives us a reason for those masks to no longer be like in use anymore. Like, after we get this legendary mask, and at the end of the year, we move on to year two, and there's not that question of, well, why aren't they just using the Mask of Time to beat Makuta? Well, it's because they did
use it, and now it's been
shattered again. So they would have to go out and actually find it once more. That's why they can't just use it.
Indeed.
Right. I'm down with that, as long as we don't keep turning each year to, like, oh, remember the fetch quest from the last year? You got to do that again.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking. Because,
like, that's my least favorite part of Bionicle. Not, I love it in 2001, but 2002, like, and 2003, where they're like, oh, hey, the
like,
Nuva mask.
No, I think the fetch quest is actually pretty good for a LEGO
theme. Fetch questing is an important aspect of LEGO themes. To not have it would take away a lot of potential. It does not always have to be for masks or mask fragments, but there
just need a way to
there's usually a MacGuffin of some sort.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Like, it doesn't have to be literally every year, hey, go to the six different labyrinths to get the mask piece. You know, it could be that they're being kept in some other place by some other means.
Yeah, I mean, sure, you can be a bit more creative with it. I just think that I understand not wanting to do fetch quests in a story, but, like, for this kind of thing, I would imagine that you would want a fetch quest for a LEGO line because it just gives you more collectible reason to actually get the sets.
All right, so we could do... All right. So here's what I'm thinking of now. Now that we're talking about wanting the Rahi in and the Rakshi in too. Do we want, so initially, like, you know, that we were talking about, like, are we wanting two waves, basically? Like a winter and a summer wave, like most LEGO themes?
I would assume so, yes.
Okay, so in this first wave,
theme that starts off like with only one wave.
No, I mean, like, I mean, what we could do is that, like, we could have, because I'm thinking about, like, all the backstory and stuff that we're wanting to do with the Toa's interaction with the characters. We could have the whole thing of, like, the first half of the year is maybe them fighting off against the Rahi and also setting up the whole cult thing, and they're going, the cult's going around, and also the Toa are also dealing with, like, a lot of stuff. And then in the later half of the year, that's when the Rock should come in the summer wave. And then that's where they become Toa once it hits summer. So we go through this whole expeditionary thing where we're talking about.
So,
like,
we don't even have any Toa sets during winter?
That's a good point.
This is where, that, this is where, yeah, our ideas are starting to conflict, because that's a really good plan for a story. Not so good of a plan for a set. And this is, I'm kind of having a lot of empathy with LEGO right now. You gotta stuff work for set design.
Exactly.
You gotta have cool
it's like
models.
I just
okay. No. Listen, you're totally right. I didn't think about that. I do think it's a shame.
It works if you introduce the creatures.
Okay, but I guess, like, here's the thing. I want the Toa to be there at the start as well as you do, because we do need those minifigures. I also on the flip side want to explore some of that story before they become Toa. Because I feel
so
like we
prequel
start
comic,
right.
or an online game, is a prequel.
I don't necessarily think you absolutely need the story
and the set
to start off at the exact same point as the set. Mm-hmm. I feel like you can build up to the moment in the set. I don't think those need to necessarily be one to one. I don't know. Was the Green Ninja ever introduced before it was revealed? Lloyd was the Green Ninja in a set.
May figure form.
Yes.
No.
Purple?
Not that I can remember.
Dude, I remember a lot of times where sets came out before the context behind them was.
Yeah, before the context was actually in the story.
They always got criticized for spoiling story events.
I mean.
Yeah, but okay. I mean,
it,
like, just,
it's
just
like
say,
seeing the cover of a book, though.
Right.
Right?
It's like if trailer. If we see the Toa in a set in the winter wave, it's not like you're going to be like, well, spoilers, they become Toa. You know what I'm saying? I don't feel like anyone's going
to
be
it's
them.
It's also something to consider, like, about what media, obviously this will come way later, but, like, what media we would tell our story in, because G1 had an entire game that was a prequel to the O1.
So I'm thinking there would be a TV show.
Tales from the Tahunga that was, I'm like, about how the Toa got summoned.
I think a TV show would be great. I also actually do think that a game for, like, additional backstory would be also really fun. I don't know how much budget that would cost, of course, but just the concept, like, right now,
I mean, in either a game or a movie, or
yeah,
a TV show or a movie.
A TV show could actually tell the main story, and then the game could tell, like, extended backstory if you wanted to find it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, no, it could be, but
all right, we're probably gonna have to put the freeze on the discussion now.
Yeah.
Till wow, next just year. Like the actual. Yeah,
frozen like
week.
An EMP, man.
So, all right, real quick, one thing I want people to think about for next week, because we're kind of going through that. All right, let's think about next week. Let's think about, like, what we want the sets to be. Let's also start thinking about, we had a discussion beforehand. Do we want 5 elements? Do we want 6 elements? How many characters do we want? Who's going to be, how many ratio men to female? Last one is the villages and how they correlate to each other. I don't think they should all be friendly like they were in Mata Nui. I feel like there should actually
some
be
should
like
be
a.
Some should be like angry.
Some should
other.
Be.
There should
almost
be
angry
racism.
With each other. Like they're all like almost like a. I mean, you know, like in Game of Thrones, how they have the different countries and there's all the, like, almost like this kind of political rift between some of them.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you've already, like, come to this conclusion, but we're not reducing women to just in the Ga.
Oh yeah,
Koro,
yeah.
Right.
That's
such a stupid idea.
That's the stupidest thing hands down that's happened by Bionicle. Second to or not second, like the second being romance. Both of those are just dumb ideas.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah,
I like it.
I think romance was perfectly smart, but we'll get into that later.
Well, right. I don't think it was smart.
Romance is overrated.
I think that it is purple. The option, taking the option away.
Quick, Meso.
Wow. Killed it.
Kill the discussion, Mr. Right. End us. Take us out.
What if a Toa was like an inherited power?
Passed down from
generations.
This is a prophecy.
Now we can't. But like the last time.
Signs.
Like, but like, there's such a like a long stretch of time in between the last like appearance of a Toa that no one knows what lineage it is or anything. So it's just like
I want to figure out a way to combine like some of the best aspects of G1 and G2. Like I like. How
right. I mean, I think we're doing a pretty good job here.
Yeah, I like if the Toa like the protector role, you know, like.
Oh, and also, like we'll probably discuss this at length in the future. But I nominate the island to be Mata Nui and the deity to be Akimu. Just like two separate names, not the same thing. Because that was the thing I thought G2 did. Akimu being placeholder, yeah. But just separate names. Anyway.
No, it's separate names for the being in the island is A-okay.
That is all for this week's episode of the TTV Podcast. We're really curious to hear all of our listeners' thoughts. X posted something in the chat. Okay, you gotta just read what you said for context.
You can just...
Day is 872. Food is running low. All the horses are dead. Things are looking grim. Timmy has gone insane, so we had to tie him down.
No, not Timmy!
Rip little Timmy.
Turns out Timmy...
Oh, he just wanted to know he could find the latest recap reviews.
No, turns out Timmy is actually just... his inherited power is just starting to manifest itself. Turns out he's actually the Toa of Light.
Nice. All
right.
Everybody, we're really curious to hear your thoughts on this. This is a developmental process as much as for us, as I'm sure it is for you listening to it. So just give us feedback. What do you like? What do you not like? Why do you not like it? I already remember there were a few comments that I wanted to bring up that I completely forgot to, but next week we will address some viewer comments.
We will address that.
So shout out to you. I didn't forget you. Until then... We'll see you all next week on the TTV Podcast. And as
fan
always...
Fan art, man. If you guys got designs and want to see them too, like want to build on the Rakshi idea or something.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I'd love to see that.
And as always, every week, I would like to give a special thank you and shout out to one of our loyal Patreon subscribers who support us every week. This week, I'll be shouting out Krazix. I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your name, but awesome person. Awesome supporter of our content. You have... eternal thanks. Anyway, we'll see you all next week on the next episode of the TTV Podcast. I'm Mesa.
I'm Ryder N.
I'm LJ.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Ven, and I have more concept art.
I'm Takuma Nuva, and I don't.
I'm Purple, and I regret being here.
I'm Tenebrain.
Wow, so do I. That's the greatest way to get fired right there.
Oh, and I'm XX Trooper. I don't regret being here, man.
This is 234.
Another great way to get fired.
It was a good listen.
Adios, everybody.
See you later.
Oh,
nice, man. Oh, whoa, hold up. Wow.
I'm putting that in the video.
Next week.
See you, guys.
Next time, baby. He's replaced by a different actor next time.